She dubbed me the snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, October 1st, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and a wild ride it is to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. And speaking of interesting and lively discussion, you know, I was going to open today's broadcast and say the Federal Reserve has been, its charter has been revoked. The Federal Reserve Act has been revoked, and the income tax has been repealed. The IRS is being dismantled and abolished as we speak. And, oh, is it too soon for that? The CIA has been being dismantled, the FBI too. I'm not among those who agree with Richard Thieme and those folks who think that the intelligence community is a necessary evil. I think it's just evil and not necessary. I think when we start to practice deception and institutionalize it as a way of life, then obviously we're playing into the hands of evil. I don't see any sort of requirement for that in the Bible or the historical record, and so I disagree. And there are those folks who will say, well, but come on, Chris, I mean, what about the rest of the world? The rest of the world might continue to pursue those endeavors. And I would remind folks that if you read Anthony Sutton's work, for example, you will very quickly realize that the Cold War, all of the escalation of technology and so forth around the world has been a put-up job for that very reason, to advance that argument or to get you to buy into that fallacious argument. So perhaps if we retreat from that bad behavior that got us where we are now, maybe things will change for the better. That's just my two cents on that. So are we still talking about the Brett Kavanaugh, Christine Blasey Ford accusations in particular? I can't believe we still are, but apparently we are. And I haven't really spoken about it yet, but there are some specific concerns I have. One specific concern I have, and it's really kind of the same concern. It's the same concern that sort of it's the continual thread through all things that are considered news these days in the mainstream media, so-called. And that really gets back to Adam Curtis's little short that we've played a few times for the BBC's 2014 Wipe, where he's talking about Vladislav Surkov and the circus, the theater, and this dizzying orchestration of things that just keep people guessing. And that just really seems to categorize what we call news these days. It was such an important video that it was posted twice over at Real Clear Politics, once in 2014, when it was originally published, and then again in 2016, in October of 2016. And again, really kind of says it all. The opening of the video, Adam Curtis explains, details a situation in Russia, but it sounds very similar, again, as I always say, to what we're experiencing in America today. It's difficult, if not impossible, to argue that we're not experiencing the same concept. So we won't play the video now, but Tim Haines posted it twice, again, once in 2014 and again in 2016. In 2016, it was titled BBC's Adam Curtis, How Propaganda Turned Russian Politics into Theater. So tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. Adam Curtis opens and says, so much of the news this year has been hopeless, depressing, and above all, confusing, to which the only response is to say, oh dear. And you think about this, we've talked about this recently, specifically, the way the news addresses subject matter, nothing, it's really a dizzying wind tunnel of accusations and really just sort of unsubstantiated allegations in most cases. They're unsubstantiated to the extent that nothing could be proven, that anyone could come to a conclusive stance on any issue. And the evidence is always just not quite there, if you'll notice. And there's also the controversy. It's interesting to see folks in support of, you know, someone like Christine Blasey Ford, and we'll talk about her in a second, but someone like that used to advance some kind of accusation as she has it. And I think she's been put up to it, quite frankly, in my opinion. It's interesting, folks that see that from one standpoint find it completely disingenuous. And then folks on the other side of that issue say, if you voted for Hillary Clinton and suddenly you're concerned about rape and harassment of women, then you're a hypocrite. And this obviously, as I've been pointing out recently, serves to balkanize people. It pits people against each other. And the facts that could conclusively prove something one way or another are suspiciously lacking in almost every case. And what this results in a tribal retreat of people in this identity politics sort of environment we find ourselves in America now is a constant clashing of sides and oppositional forces. And that's the last thing we need in America right now. And sadly, I believe that's entirely intentional. I don't think there's really anything accidental about it. It seems difficult to argue that along with the corresponding rise of controversy and contention, you have a corresponding lack of there's like a proportional lack of, or inversely proportional, I should say, lack of facts and evidence to support these accusations and allegations. So how can we deny that there seems to be something going on there that's beyond coincidental? So back to what Adam Curtis said in his short. So much of the news this year has been hopeless, depressing, and above all confusing, to which the only response is to say, oh dear. And Adam Curtis adds, what this film is going to suggest is that the defeatist response has become a central part. The defeatist response. What did Sun Tzu say? You want to beat your enemy? Defeat your enemy before you ever go into battle. I'm paraphrasing. That defeatist response has become a central part of a new system of political control. And to understand how this is happening, you have to look to Russia, a man called Vladislav Surkov, who is a hero of our time, Adam Curtis said. Surkov is one of Putin's advisors and has helped him maintain his power for 15 years. But he's done it in a very new sort of way. Or at least that's the way the story goes. So, skipping ahead, though, Adam Curtis adds, a ceaseless shape-shifting that is unstoppable because it is undefinable. It is exactly what Surkov is alleged to have done in the Ukraine. In typical fashion, as the war began, Surkov published a short story about something he called nonlinear war. And this is a war where you never know what the enemy are really up to or even who they are. The underlying aim, Surkov says, is not to win the war, but to use the conflict to create a constant state of destabilized perception in order to manage and control. And in that same sort of fashion, I was sent a video, and this, you know, again, it all sounds very similar. I was sent a video this morning, actually, asking the question sort of about the trumpet war video. What about this video, and specifically the 40-minute mark where the assertion is advanced that Donald Trump has put down the expansion of ISIS and the caliphate and that somehow he's responsible for that. And there are so many different nuances to that that issue that I'm not going to dive into right now, but the simple version of that story is there's nothing about ISIS or the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or the creation of a caliphate that is, I would say, organic. And it hasn't been for a long, long time. You know, the closest you could get, I would say, goes back at least 250 years, more than that. So really, basically, ever since the alliance between the House of Saud and the Wahhabi cleric, Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, ever since that unholy alliance and the British sort of hijacking of it, British intrigue, using that alliance as a social virus and Wahhabism specifically, there really hasn't been any legitimate, authentic effort. And I think the evidence of the questionable nature and inauthenticity of the video is the naming of it, which is very strange, over on the Real video platform, Real.video, attributing it to Steve Bannon, but calling him Stephen K. Banning is weird. That's usually, you know, basically discrediting message and messenger. There are a lot of subtle little cues that seem to crop up. It's, you know, that's always provocative to me, to say the least. You'll notice that folks like James Corbett go out of their way. James Corbett goes out of his way to meticulously document the information that he provides and the conclusions that he draws. And this is an example of something that's slightly amiss and therefore questionable. So the 40-minute mark in the War on Trump film, excuse me, is the mark in question. And right after that, for anyone who's watched it or will watch it, you'll notice that the accusations against Iran are leveled. And again, in the same fashion, you know, you have Donald Trump making accusations against Iran that are entirely baseless and unsubstantiated. It's, for those paying attention, the remarks are, you know, Iran is the greatest sponsor of terrorism around the world. That's actually arguably the United States, has been for some time. It's a point that Noam Chomsky has made for years, and it's a valid point, although I would add that the United States military-industrial complex is a proxy, largely unwitting, which is very tragic and unfortunate, but we're actually helping to sponsor terrorism. The United States military-industrial complex is, and that's happening in your name and my name, and that should stop. So, you know, when we have, and to get into the specifics on that, you know, we could go off in many directions. Saudi Arabia proliferates the ideology. You go to the Salafi movement Wikipedia entry under the section titled Views on Extremism, which I've read many, many times, and you see that the world agrees. It's no mystery. Saudi Arabia is responsible for the ideology, Wahhabism, that jihadi Salafi groups like Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, et cetera, all espouse. Saudi Arabia is responsible for advancing these this ideology. And Israel is notorious for terrorism, usually by deception. The UN Human Rights Council, as I've mentioned, recognizes
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on...
So let's move on a little bit. You know, the Iran nonsense, it's you know, I'm not even going to get into that. The simple story is, again, the advancement of the Greater Middle East Project, the Greater Israel Project, you know, the Yanan Plan, the Oded Yanan Plan, and the annihilation of Shia Islam and really Sunni Islam, because according to the Wahhabis, the Salafis, the Deobandis, if you don't believe as they believe, then you are an infidel, even if you're a fellow Sunni Muslim, so to speak. Anyway, that's the short version there. So that's the reason for the attack on Iran. Iran is not a threat to you or me or just about anyone, really. But we keep hearing this nonsense. And if anyone's been attacked over the last 50 or 100 years, Iran is one of the biggest. Think about the intrigue. Go watch, if you're not familiar, go watch James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, and you'll see what I'm talking about. If you were Iran, think about, and I suppose we should be upset in America the way we have been propagandized, the way that certain people groups have been attacked. You know, you think of the mass genocidal efforts that have been undertaken in this country over the last 200 or 300 years, and you know, in the over the course of the 20th century, sterilization projects and eugenics, and you know, the war against the weak, as Edwin Black puts it. He wrote the book on the war against the weak, literally. And you know, folks that are unassuming, naive, generally speaking, and whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led, as Nesta Webster put it, you know, it's a vile and despicable thing to attack these people, yet that's what's happening. So in the information age, we should be able to defend ourselves better. And I think the first step in that defense is being better informed. And so let's get back on track a little bit. Speaking of Christine Blasey Ford, it's interesting. If you want to have some fun, and this is sort of anecdotal aside, I don't want to focus on this, but if you want to have some fun, we talked about cybernetic totalism, and the rise of this, you know, especially with Aaron and Melissa Dyke's True Stream Media documentary, The Minds of Men, in view, and the work that they've done, the research of more than 3 years that went into making that film. And the real concern, as Melissa Dyke sort of hints at in a few of the videos that they've made recently, that it wasn't just the drugs that CIA was working on with regard to MKUltra. And a number of the sub-projects deal with the issue of mind control as it relates to technology. And you'd be astonishing to dive in and learn more about that, and where a lot of this stuff ended up sort of rattling around. You know, William mentioned the Esalen Institute and Spark, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, Palo Alto and Stanford are in view. When I think of Palo Alto and Stanford together, I think of MKUltra. I don't know about you, but so where is Christine Blasey Ford? Oh, she's at Palo Alto and Stanford. It's interesting. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around. Right back up. Sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. So, Christine Blasey Ford, you know, before I get away, a couple of things. So, just before we run away from Adam Curtis, you know, again, the point about the Vladislav Surkov-style avant-garde theater, the theatrical nature of this nonlinear war, what is it? Basically, it's an attack from all sides, not just, you know, it's not just nonlinear. It's it seems like multidimensional, and I think an homage or a hint of that or to that is this, you know, seventh dimensional chess nonsense we keep hearing about. I don't know where that expression originated in contemporary vernacular, but I suspect it probably came from bad guys and really along these lines, this concept of nonlinear warfare, nonlinear war. And so like Adam Curtis pointed out, I mean, this sounds like America, ceaseless shape shifting that is unstoppable because it is undefinable. It is exactly what Surkov is alleged to have done in Ukraine. In typical fashion, as the war began, Surkov published a short story about something he called nonlinear war, a war where you never know what the enemy is really up to or even who they are. The underlying aim, Surkov says, is not to win the war, but to use the conflict to create a constant state of destabilized perception in order to manage control. And like I was saying with the reporting, facts are really strangely absent. There are a lot of accusations. There's a lot of sensational language. The rest of the world notices this. And, you know, it's very Orwellian in nature. You know, good, really good, super good. Bad, good, that kind of stuff. We're really watching the sort of simultaneous reduction of language, linguistic minimalism, and a commensurate sensationalization of language. And a lot of other things are happening with language too. Again, Toynbee is essential reading, I think. You know, this morning on Fox News, they're replaying the Iran rhetoric and Iran launching ballistic missiles and showing goose-stepping troops and things of that nature. And as many studies have pointed out, there was a CSIS study a few years ago, or it was part of a talk, CSIS talk, and I've mentioned it a few times. I need to probably find that, among others. You know, the experts say that Israel has had nukes since the mid-60s, probably a couple hundred at least. Meanwhile, Iran doesn't even have the technology to get a nuke really beyond its borders. If they, on a good day with a tailwind, they might be able to lob a scud at Israel and maybe land one on the border, maybe. But they certainly don't have the technology to combine. They don't have the missile technology combined with the nuclear capability. And so all of this talk is just sensationalized propaganda, which is sort of redundant. But why do we suppose that is? And again, you know, you get back to the specious Cold War, for example. You know, as Anthony Sutton proved, the technology that found its way to the Soviet Union along with the finances to develop said technology really came from the same place that was developing the technology here. But why would people do that? And the answer is so that you can create this advancement in both places. You can benefit from scientific advancement and development in many places and sort of leak that technological advancement back and forth while benefiting from it, and also benefiting from the alleged escalation of a specious conflict, so that you can at the same time tell people that they need to surrender their rights and their freedom in the name of safety and security. So, you know, it's very effective in that sense. So just to conclude, Adam Curtis's short for the 2014 WIPE Year in Review program, he concluded and he said he's talking about all of these things that are happening. It gets even more confusing because the Bank of England has admitted that those billions of pounds are not going where they're supposed to. We've heard that in Congress. You know, every time anyone from the money powers is questioned, we really don't hear answers. It's just theater. And more, as I've said for years, what we see on Capitol Hill seems a lot more like British Parliament. It's just theater. You know, it looks like you're watching some kind of satirized version of politics on PBS or something. It's a very yawning sort of satirical version of politics. It's making light of things that are not humorous, which is probably the most diabolical aspect of it to me, anyway. But Adam Curtis points out, so the Bank of England admitted that billions of pounds are not going where they're supposed to. A vast majority of that money has actually found its way into the hands of the wealthiest 5% in Britain. And then we keep hearing that drug trafficking and arming radical jihadis and things of that nature just keeps accidentally happening. Studies keep proving that. It has been described as the biggest transfer of wealth to the rich in recent documented history. Adam Curtis added, it could be a huge scandal comparable to the greedy oligarchs of Russia. And aren't we seeing the same thing in America? Aren't we hearing the same thing in America? You know, Dr. Evil, a.k.a. Jeff Bezos, you know, the trillion-dollar market cap of the market state economy leaders like Apple and Amazon and Google. It sounds the same. You know, the United States oligarchs, are they distinguishable from the British oligarchs or the Russian oligarchs? You know, I've talked about the concept of the Brazilianization of America, which is a term from Michael Lind's book, The Next American Nation, The New Nationalism and the Fourth American Revolution. So, you know, this idea that, it's a toponym that he defined as a high-tech feudal anarchy featuring an archipelago of privileged whites and an ocean of white, black, and brown poverty. And so you kind of see that in America. It's not, I wouldn't say, as race-driven as he makes it sound. I think, you know, like John Spivak pointed out in his article series on Wall Street's fascist conspiracy back in 1935, the way he put it, it was proven that economic class considerations rise above all others, and that's the game they play. You know, if you are able to ascend the ranks in that game, then you're obviously one of them. You're one of the, and that, you know, then you get into the eugenics and stuff. If you can play the dirty money game well, then you must be one of us, and everyone else is inferior stock. So it's not that the rest of us are inferior, it's just that we have a conscience, that's all. And so, you know, we don't think taking advantage of millions or billions of people is enslaving them through, you know, perpetual debt slavery and things like that. It's probably not, that's not a nice thing to do. So not kind, it's very unkind. So the scenario that Adam Curtis paints is, you know, indistinguishable in more and more in the developed nations. I mean, you could throw China in, you could throw India in, just about anywhere. It's the same scenario. And so why are we being fed this specious narrative of conflict with certain places when you can see that, you can see on the face of the headlines the preeminency of the market state fighting with countries and the rise of a technocratic elite, basically, which sort of gets back to the subject of Stanford, Palo Alto, Christine Blasey Ford, CIA. I'll get back to that in a second. So to conclude with Adam Curtis's point, he says, you know, it could be a huge scandal comparable to the greedy oligarchs in Russia, a ruthless elite siphoning off billions in public money, but nobody seems to know. It sums up the strange mood of our time, where nothing really makes any coherent sense. We live with a constant vaudeville of contradictory stories that makes it impossible for any real opposition to emerge because they can't counter it with any coherent narrative of their own. And I would add facts. There are no facts in any of this. The facts and the evidence are strangely absent all the time, yet people are fighting over information. And, you know, a simple example would be Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford. That is a very polarizing discussion for people. You'll see it in social media and in conversations in person. Very deeply polarizing, and yet facts are strangely absent. There is nothing but allegations, much of them baseless, not really a seeking of facts and a coming together, a meeting of the minds, and a sharpening of iron, but just really conflict. And I would say that both sides are awful. I'm not really a fan of either. So to me, it's this, you know, again, it's a specious conflict that is a – it's sort of rooted in a bifurcation fallacy, as if, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is good and Christine Blasey Ford is bad, or she's good and he's bad. And what if both are not fantastic? What if the whole discussion is misleading? I think that's more that should be more the focal point, and we should have a meeting of the minds on factual lines. Anyway, concluding Adam Curtis's piece, he says it means, so you have all of this chaos, all of this incoherent narrative, and it means that we as individuals become even more powerless, unable to challenge anything because we live in a state of confusion and uncertainty, to which the response is, oh dear. But that is what they want you to say. Exactly. And the CIA has been masterful at this for decades, as we know. And, you know, again, this gets back to mind control. So back to Christine Blasey Ford. If you want to have fun, type Christine Blasey Ford CIA into your favorite search engine and peruse the results. I'm not going to get into them right now. Maybe we'll come back to this later. But Google and YouTube in particular, ThemTube, as James Corbett would say, don't want you to know, but even Michael Savage's Savage Nation has mused on the subject. So you can find the piece over at michaelsavage.com. Is Dr. Ford deeply tied to the CIA? That's interesting. Allegations are very deep, including some CIA FOIA request releases that connect folks, you know, and so it appears the Blasey family has a history of CIA involvement, and just kind of on the face of it, you know, Stanford University School of Medicine is notorious for its CIA MKUltra involvement. Subprojects included Subproject 2, 56, 70, 71, 72, 85, 86. You know, you have figures like Sidney Gottlieb, Robert Lashbrook, Ray Treichler, Willis Gibbons, Charles Geschichter and the Geschichter Fund, and many others. So that's Stanford University School of Medicine and Stanford, you know, the Stanford involvement in CIA MKUltra. And then there's Stanford University CIA undergraduate internship program. There's rumor that Christine Blasey Ford is, she heads that up. And even if she doesn't, a CIA undergraduate internship program, what is that? You mean there is such a thing? Yes, Virginia, there is. And if you really know what the CIA has been up to, I wonder if someone could tell me what CIA has done in its long and storied career over the last several decades that has been good. There have been a number of examples that we could point to of things the CIA has done that are not good, destabilizing countries and governments, toppling governments, assassinating people. What has it done that's good? Yeah, we're recruiting as though it's a noble organization. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, October 1st, 2018. And, you know, the bottom line, the nonsense in Congress, I mean, if things were going in a, if we really were making America great again, we would start dismantling the power base or the power structure that is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and probably the banking establishment that is primarily headquartered in New York, and the states would become as strong as they should be. Instead, there's giant sucking sound as the Federal Reserve is siphoning off the wealth of the nation through primarily confiscatory theft, otherwise known as inflation. And then there's the IRS and taxation. It's really just sort of the black hand of the Federal Reserve to keep people in line. And, you know, then you have power and influence funneling into Washington, D.C., when really the local community should be, and the states should be supremely powerful in our American Constitutional Republic specifically. So talking about Christine Blasey Ford, I think she's completely disingenuous. I think she was put up to the nonsense that she is up to. I think that Brett Kavanaugh is disingenuous, and the whole discussion is completely misleading. As long as we have the administrative state, the technocratic mess that we've had for about 100 years now, and it continues to trend in that direction. And, you know, even people like Peter Thiel say to call America a democracy or a constitutional republic is misleading. America is dominated by these technocratic agencies. And that's a fact. I mean, 400 plus agencies of the federal government are what touch the citizen, quote unquote. And then they're state subordinates. And that's an inversion of the power structure that we were given in the Constitutional Republic. Some people will say that's what the Constitution was supposed to do. That was, you know, the secret plan, which is why we had to upend the Articles of Confederation, which established a weak central government. And I would disagree with that, but even if we got back to the orthodoxy of the Constitution, it would be a far cry better than this administrative, technocratic, monolithic nightmare that we have today. I think we'll sort of reach back to last week and continue on this week in the next segment. So stick around. We'll be right back after the short break. Second hour.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.